and finish what the pastor started, because there is hope in Jesus Christ. And let me tell you, he is coming back again, and he's going to be taking us to heaven. Amen? I'm going to ask a very simple question. Does anybody know what happened in December 21st, 2012? Anybody? It didn't happen too long ago. It was the prediction of what? The end of the world, right? Many people were deceived, and people sold their homes. People were just literally went crazy, and they thought that the world was coming to an end. And comes to find out that many people were fooled, because that's the title of the sermon, Don't Be Fooled. And I want to say that the times that we were living in, many false Christs are going to come about us, and they're going to be forming many miracles, many signs. But we have to be prepared. We must not be fooled. I'm going to give you guys a little one harder. Does anybody know what happened October 30th, 1938? Not just that the world was going to end. And when they talked about December 21st, 2012, they talked about, you know, some were fooled. But in October 30th, 1938, there was an announcement on the radio that the Martians were attacking Earth. Okay, does anybody know the story? Many millions of people were fooled. Many. There were people running to and fro. They were running out of their houses. They were calling the power companies to say, please turn off the lights so the Martians don't find us. There were people running into churches. In Indianapolis, this woman ran to the church, and she ran in there. She started screaming, hurry up, the New York just burned to the ground, and the Martians just blew it up, and just, you got to be prepared to go home and die. And let me tell you, there was a great deception there. Many people were fooled, but there's coming the greatest deception in human history. Satan himself is going to personate Christ. And if we are not ready, my friends, he's going to fool a lot of, even the elect. So there was war in heaven. And Lucifer, the top angel in heaven, wanted to be like God. He wanted to rule the universe. What I want to tell you is, there could only be one God, and his name is Jesus Christ. Later, Lucifer, called Satan, deceived the first humans on earth. He told them what they really wanted to hear. You could be like gods too. You could see everything. You could control your destiny. But my friends, when you step away from Christ, you don't control anything. All you control is life of pain, suffering, and not being able to hear the word of God. So for everything genuine God has created, Satan has tried to counterfeit it. He offers counterfeit happiness. I know many people who have everything that their hearts desire. Everything that their hearts desire. Houses, boats, planes. But let me tell you, nothing brings happiness and peace like Jesus Christ. Nothing can give you a blessing and have an assurance of hope like he can. We're here today to tell you and to study the word of God in Matthew 24:24, that we must be up on our study of our Bible. We must be ready for that deception, because he is coming and we need to be ready to be with him in heaven. So his masterpiece deception is still ahead. He's going to attempt to deceive even God's people, if possible, by staging a counterfeit coming. In a conflict between good and evil, the price is earth. It is possible that Satan will masquerade as Christ, counterfeiting the second coming. Matthew 24:5 says, for many will come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and he will deceive many. And Matthew 24:24, the scripture reading, for false Christ will rise up and show great signs and wonder, even if some Christians who have accepted false teachings will be deceived in the second coming. My friends, don't be deceived. Don't be fooled. The Bible says in Matthew 24:26, therefore, if they say to you, look, he is in the desert, do not go out. Look, he is in the inner city, do not go out. Do not believe. What if a being of dazzling brightness came to you and started spreading false doctrine? Satan is going to try to counterfeit Jesus' second coming. Would you go to, say, New York City to see him? If your wife had cancer, will you take her to go see him? Because let me tell you something, my friends. Where sometimes when we are in our deep anguish in life, because life has anguishes, we need to focus solely on Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the only hope that we have. It is the hope for today and for the future. There is no hope besides anything else but in Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us remember what promises God said in John 14, 1 and 3. Let not your heart be troubled. Believe in me, also believe in believe in God, believe in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. If I go and receive you to myself, I will come back again. Isn't that a blessed hope? I mean, when people think about what they're going through here on this earth, and we know this earth is chaotic, it's a mess, but it is still God who's in control. Amen. We know that before he comes again, we know that we're going to go through a time never before seen in earth history. But I want to tell you, if you grab onto Christ, nothing's ever going to matter. If we know him, we know that we have hope. There's hope, my friends, for a weary, war-torn, confused, chaotic planet, overpopulated, polluted, drug-infested, morally twisted planet. Christ came the first time. Christ will come again. Christ's coming is a literal event. Christ's coming is a personal event. Jesus is not going to send emissaries, my friends. He's going to come with great power and great glory to those who believe in him, to be with him in heaven. Remember, the disciples saw him ascending, shaded their eyes, a long-lasting, lingering look. While they were looking, the two angels appeared to them. They said, this same Jesus who is taken up from you into heaven will so come in like manner. As you saw him going to heaven, he will descend from heaven. Jesus ascended in the clouds, and he will descend in the clouds, my friends. He ascended in a glorious body. He will descend gloriously. The Christ who touched the eyes of the blind to see, touched the ears of the people who were deaf to hear, spoke and rose and raised the dead, he's coming back again, my friends. And he's going to raise those who were faithful to him, my friends. Christ's coming is a visible event. Nothing secret about this event. Jesus says in Revelation 1:7, behold, he is coming with clouds, and every eye will see him. How many eyes will see him in his return? Every eye. The eye of the young, old, rich, poor, educated, uneducated, atheist, black, brown, yellow, you name it, they will all see him coming, my friends. Those who rejected him will all see him. Those who love him will see him, and he will take them to heaven, my friends. I want to be there. It's going to be a place of sorrow. There's only going to be two groups, my friends. Those who welcome him and those who are going to try to hide behind the mountains and hide from his glory. And let me tell you, we want to be in the part that goes in the clouds with him into heaven. I want to be there, my friends. There are those who say, and about speaking about his coming in Revelation 16, 18, and there were noise and thundering and lightning, and there was a great earthquake, such a mighty and great earthquake. Then every island fell away, and the mountains were not found. Have you tried to sleep during a thunderstorm? Will you sleep through the second coming of Christ, my friends? His coming is coming soon. I want to tell you, the signs, you know, some people might say, why do you say that? But I'm going to say it. The signs, you don't even have to read your Bible. The signs are right there for you. He is coming. We need to be prepared. We need to have a relationship with him. We need to study our word, my friend. The word of God is the truth, and the truth will set you free. And I'm here to tell you that today, God is coming for you, my friends. You need to be ready. You cannot be fooled into thinking that there's going to be a being who's going to try to deceive you from his coming. He's going to show many signs and wonders, but only God could come down with power and great glory. And with a trumpet of God, he would descend. Only one person could do that, my friends, and that is God himself. Only Jesus would appear in heaven. a dazzling brightness. Every eye will see him. Only Jesus could ascend from heaven with the trumpets of God. Only Jesus can raise the dead. When Christ ascends, he will call out the names of those who die first in his name. The Christ, the life giver, the creator, will raise the dead. Do you hear those tears? The mother of a firstborn baby who died, when Christ come, the angel will go and hand her the child in her arms. What a day that will be, my friends. Right there is the rejoicing that we need, we have to think about in the hope of those who die in Christ's name. Amen? I know that when Christ come, those who lost loved ones, I know I will see my Father in heaven, my friends. Because it's not those who are alive who are going to be in heaven first. I mean, in the clouds first. It are those who are dead, they're going to rise up first and meet Jesus in the clouds. I want to be there, my friends. How about you? There's good news, my friends. The Lord himself will ascend from heaven with a shout, with a voice of the archangel. Death, sorrow, heartache are no more. Christ has come. If you're an atheist, what's the answer to death? How does atheism solve the riddle of death, the comfort, and the grieving? The Bible says, God who created the world sent Jesus when it rebelled. Christ will come again in a real moment in time. He will solve the problem of pain, suffering, death. Christ doesn't come. If Christ doesn't come, only hope for a dark grave. That's all we have. Good news, my friends. Christ is coming. Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 4:17, then he who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall be with the Lord. Somebody says, I read a book describing a secret rapture, but we need to go to the Word of God. In the Bible, there's no mention of the rapture. The word rapture is not found in the Bible, certainly not a secret rapture. What does the rapture mean? The word rapture means a catching up, a snatching away. Will there be a rapture? In a sense, yes. A catching up, yes. In another word, secret rapture, no. Where do these people find the idea about the rapture? For the next text we read in 1 Thessalonians 4:16, for the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel and a trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord. The Latin word for caught up is rapere, for which we get rapture. They say we will be caught up. They are right. But yes, it will not be secret. We will ascend into heaven. The Bible in 1 Thessalonians 4:16 and 17 does not teach the secret rapture. It teaches Christ will come with a shout. It teaches that the voice of the archangel will be heard. It teaches that the trumpet of God will sound. We will then see Jesus coming in all glory and power. What about Christ coming as a thief? In the Bible, Christ coming as a thief refers to not how he comes, but to when he comes. In 1 Thessalonians 5:2, Jesus says, "Be prepared, I come unexpectedly." Does a thief warn you ahead of time? Get ready, here I come. No way. There was a story about a family that moved to Toronto, Canada. They set up a barbecue in the backyard, and when they moved there, their barbecue was missing. So the neighbors came over and told them, "Oh, we're sorry, our barbecue broke down, and we gave it, you know, we were using it, but we returned it," and they gave them two tickets for a counter for the following night. So they were, "Oh, wow, these are such nice neighbors. Look, they gave us two tickets for a concert." So when they went to the concert, when they came back home, the whole house was wiped away. It disappeared. So the thief is not going to announce his coming, my friends. Jesus Christ is coming, and we need to be prepared every second of every minute of every hour. There's temptations out there in the world that we need to overcome. And I speak to the youth today. I mean, I know they're probably in camp meeting, but there's still some youth here. We need to have them prepare, my friends, for Jesus' soon coming. There's no time to waste. The times are going to be so rapid. Things are going to happen so fast. There's going to be the Same thing like in Noah's time is going to be the same thing. The door of grace is going to close, and there is going to be no more chances, my friends. We need to be prepared for his coming. The Bible talks about Jesus is coming. It's not going to be a surprise. He provides signs. He's about to arrive. Christ comes in the clouds of heaven. Every eye can see him. Revelation 1:7. All tribes of the earth see him. Come, Matthew 24:30. Every ear hears it. There's great noise and thunder, a great earthquake. With the trumpet of God, he comes to raise the dead. In a moment, 1 Corinthians 15:52-53, the second coming, we will all be changed. In the twinkling of your eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, and the dead will rise incorruptible, and shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. The Bible says when we die or we drop off to sleep, death will seem like a moment in the twinkling of an eye. And, you know, many people that don't know the Word of God, I mean, I hear people and they're like almost trembling at the thought of death, you know. And these kids these days, when they're committing, you know, when they have no hope and they're committing suicide and they're doing drugs, it's because the Word of God is not in them. There is no hope in them. Imagine if this was the only thing that you have to look forward to, with all the chaos and everything that's going on. Let me tell you, I would be sad myself. I'd be depressed myself. But I know that soon coming, there's a king that's coming for me, my friends. I know that Jesus Christ is coming back, and he's going to take us to heaven. I want you guys to have that hope also. The Bible doesn't teach about those who are left alive. What happens to the people that are left? Let the Bible explain it, not some theologian. Revelation 6:17 says, "For the great day of his wrath has come. Who is able to stand?" And the Bible says, those who turn their backs on God's love, Revelation 6:15-16 says, "Hid themselves in the caves and in the rocks of the mountains, and said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him who sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb." Jesus wants to save each and every one of you, my friends. He doesn't want you to be calling out the mountains to fall on you, my friends. He wants you to have everlasting peace and everlasting hope. And this world is, we could pray for the leaders, we could pray for the presidents, we could pray for the kings, but let me tell you something. Prophecies are going to be fulfilled. There's nothing that's going to stop it. Everything has to happen in order for Jesus Christ to come back again. And sometimes, even Seventh-day Adventists, when things are happening and they don't study the Word of God and they don't know the facts about what's going to happen, they get discouraged. But just have hope and remember that those things need to come to pass in order for Jesus Christ to come back. We have to look and see that those things that are coming need to happen. Because what waits for us after that is a glorious ending in heaven. No more pain, no more suffering, no more tears, no more death, no more sorrow, no more racism, no more sickness. I want to be there. How about you? I want to be in a place where I want to take my, if I was in the wheelchair, I want to be in a place where when you see a person, you know, who's in a wheelchair, my friends, they're going to be able to take that wheelchair and whew, throw it to the side and run like the eagle. I want to be in a place like that. I want to see when the children who are born, stillborn, and they're born with diseases and with cancer and with everything you can name, I want to see them as children in heaven jumping around and playing, because that's going to be something to see, my friends. Those who you know who died in Christ, those who you know who were sick, many pastors, many elders I know personally who have died from cancer, who were sick for a long time. I want to tell you, when we see them in heaven, they're going to have immortal bodies. I want to be there. I want to have an immortal body, my friends. I'm tired of all the aches. I'm tired of all the pains. I'm tired of this world being so gloomy and so we're living in a time never before seen. This earth is coming to a final climax. And I want to tell you, there's only two sides. those who call out to God and say, thank you, God, here we are, and we waited for you. And those who are hiding and behind the mountains and calling for the mountains to fall on them because they cannot see the glory of God. My friends, I want you to see the glory of God. Every person in this church needs to see the glory of God. He is coming, and he's coming with great power and with great glory. What a day that's going to be. I want to be there. And let me tell you, when we see so many sickness, and I wasn't going to bring this up, but Maria's niece, she has leukemia, and she was getting better, but now she has to go for almost three times a week. She has to go for chemotherapy, and the little girl is going to lose her hair. I mean, she basically lost almost all her hair, and it's so hard to see a child. She's only 4 years old. You know, it's so hard to see a child suffering. You know what comes with the treatment, the sickness, the nausea, you know. So, you know, this week, I think it was last week, I heard it saddened me to the core. It broke my heart. She said that she just doesn't want to fight no more, that she's tired of all the treatments. She's tired of everything that's going on in her life. My friends, when Jesus comes again, there'll be no more of that. I want to tell you that we will have glorious bodies, immortal bodies. No more sickness, no more death, no more sorrow. I want to be there. How about you? Let's not be found in the group that's calling out the mountains to fall on us, my friends. But there's going to be one group who's going to say in Isaiah 25:9, this is our God. We have waited for him, and he will save us. This is the Lord who we have waited for him. He will be glad. We will be glad and rejoice. But those who do not accept Christ, they will accept an impersonator, my friends. They will be deceived. Remember, every eye will see him. He's coming with great power and great glory. You cannot be fooled as in, oh yeah, this man is creating such storm over there in a South American country. He's healing, but my friends, he doesn't have the power to raise the dead. Only Jesus Christ has the power to raise the dead. And I want to tell you, do not be fooled, because Jesus Christ is coming back. Don't be tempted by somebody who's just an impersonator, not the real thing. There's only one real deal that ever has existed that could raise people from the dead, that could make people hear, that could give sight to the blind, and his name is our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I want to be in heaven. I want to see every person in this church be in heaven. And I know that some of you have come today discouraged, that some of you might come today maybe with an illness, maybe with financial problems. But I want to tell you, one day, all those things will be wiped away. There's not going to be no more marriage problems. There's not going to be no more financial problems. There's not going to be no more job problems. There's going to be happiness in Jesus Christ. I want to be there. How about you? The Bible says in Matthew 24:30, and the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. As the lightning comes from the east and flashes to the west, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. Christ is coming. Christ's coming is a climactic event. It is the culminating event of Earth's history. Destiny of every human being is settled. War between good and evil is over. John describes what he saw in Revelation 19:11. Now I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he who sat on him was called Faithful and True. And the armies of heaven follow him in white horses. Now out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, that with which he should strike the nations. It is over. Satan and all the evil hosts are vanquished. Christ's coming is a decisive event. There are only two classes of people, my friends. There's no second chances. Your decision in deciding eternal destiny is for you to take today, my friends. Jude 1:14-15 says, behold, the Lord comes with 10,000s of his saints to execute judgment on all, to convict all who are ungodly. How is it with you? Have you given your life to Jesus Christ? When Christ comes, you will see him. And when Christ comes, those who love their husbands will see them. When Christ comes, those who love their loved ones, their wives, their daughters, their aunts, their uncles, they will see them, my friends. We want to be there. We want to be in that glorious event. Jesus Christ is coming back. Do not be fooled by those who are impersonating him. There's only one true God, and that is our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Your decisions to settle your eternal destiny, to miss heaven is to miss everything. To be consumed with the brightness of Christ's coming, to miss eternity with your loved ones, is to miss everything. One day, there will be no more war. Every tear will be wiped away. No more sickness, suffering, or death. No more broken hearts. No more prejudice. No more hatred. No more anger. I don't know about you guys, but what I've been seeing lately, the hatred the humans have for one another is terrible. What's going on in the world, what's happening, I mean, people, you can see people are more anger. I mean, they don't have no compassion. They don't have no love. But let me tell you something. When Jesus comes, all that's going to end. We know that the love is going to grow cold, and we know that their hearts are going to grow weary. But we cannot give up the fight, my friends. We need to be saved in Jesus Christ. We need him to give us that hope that he's coming again. Christ comes, there will make no difference about the cars, the houses. It won't make any difference. Your job won't make any difference. Your bank account won't make any difference. Your titles won't make any difference. When Christ comes, the only thing to make a difference is knowing him. Be ready for his coming. And let me tell you, there was a story about like 15 or 16 billionaires. And out of all those rich people, they were all sad, miserable, depressed. They needed medication to go to sleep. They needed medication to wake up. They needed medication to be out, to do their business throughout the day. But I want to tell you, our medication is found in Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit, whenever you need power and glory, and wherever you need uplifting moment, pray to God, and the Holy Spirit is going to be with you. There's nothing that God cannot do for you. Listen to me. There's nothing. I don't care what you've been through. I don't care how your life has been. I want to tell you that God could transform your life. When you meet God, there has to be a transformation. When you know him, then you're going to have peace in your heart. I've been going through a lot at my job, as everybody knows. And when my boss finally came to me about 3 months ago and said, you know, you could come off for nights, but you have to sign a letter saying that you have to work on Friday and Saturday. So, by the way, he was in prison for almost a year. And after he came, before he went to prison, he was the one that put me on nights because he wanted to force me to work Friday and Saturday. And I know you guys know the story, but I refused to work on Friday or Saturday, basically on Sabbath, because Sabbath begins Friday evening and it ends Saturday evening. So before he went to prison, he gave me a choice. Either you work a Friday or a Saturday, or I'm going to put you on a permanent shift, you know, to work nights, Sunday through Thursday. But I want to tell you that I held on to my beliefs. Christ gave me the strength that I needed. Christ gave me the resurgence that I need to be able to withstand. Because let me tell you, it wasn't easy. I had to work every Friday night. I mean, I had to work from Sunday to Thursday every night. I had to take the train almost every night. I had to get home at 2 o'clock in the morning from taking the trains. So he came out of jail in January, and he told me, listen, I want to take you off of nights now. I feel bad. So I said, beautiful, okay, no problem. So he took out another guy that was with me on that shift. But he called me into his office and he says, listen, you have to sign this letter that you have to work Friday or Saturday. So I told him, what makes you think that my beliefs would change just because you came out of prison and you were there a year. I've been working this thing for 3 years. There's nothing that's ever going to take me from the Word of God and the belief that I have in Him. And he told me, well, yeah, is your church going to support you when you get fired? I said, I don't need the church. Jesus Christ will provide everything that I need. And I want to tell you that for every moment that you need God, He's going to be there for you. When you're feeling down, Jesus Christ is there. When you think you're alone, Jesus Christ is there. When you're feeling pain, Jesus is there. He can relieve you out of anything that you have, anything. And one day, you're not going to have those pains. You're not going to have none of those sufferings. One day, He's coming back again. And He's going to come and get us, my friends, to be with Him in heaven. And to end the story with my boss, last week, he came to me. He goes, you know what? I want you to come off the nights. So I was waiting for the but, you know, but you have to do this. But he goes, you know, I think you deserve to come off the nights. I think the time has come for you to come back. So he says, listen, there's a barbecue. I think next week is the 30th, next Friday. And he said, you know, this is a man who was mocking my religion, mocking my Sabbath, mocking everything that I did. And this is what he said about Friday the 30th for barbecue. I know your Sabbath. I know your Sabbath begins at 8:30 at night, so you have plenty of time to come to the barbecue. And let me tell you, if you stick up for God, God is going to stick up for you. There's nothing that He can't do for you. Because if I would have given in, I think me personally, myself, this is me, not speaking for anybody else, but this is me. If I would have gave in and worked on the Sabbath, it would have crushed me more than anything that He could have did to me, than anything. Being faithful to God is everything, because when you're faithful to Him, He's going to be faithful to you. One day when He comes, nothing that happened in this earth is going to matter. What's going to matter is that you're the one that's going to be saved. That you're there and you're not asking the mountains to fall on you. You're calling for His glory. And God says, come, all those who are labor, and I'll give you peace and rest. I'm telling you that we need to stand up for Jesus. People now are going to be tested. And it's not just going to be this person is tested. Every person is going to be tested. Every person. If you don't have faith in the little things, how's God going to protect you from the big things? When big things come, my friends, people are going to, and this is a fact, this is from the prophecy, people are going to be leaving the church left and right because they don't believe in God. They don't believe in the blessed hope that He's coming back again to take us home. They don't believe that there's a better place than this world. I want to tell you that He's coming back, and He's coming back with great power and great glory to those who have died in Him, to those who have suffered for Him, to those who have stood up for Him. Jesus Christ is coming back. And we want to be there. I want to tell you that if today you are going through things that you can't control, it's time to give it to God. And God will relieve you out of anything that you're going through. Whether it's depression, sadness, sickness, or loved one dying, thinking that you're not loved. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son so that you who believe in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. He wants every one of us to have eternal life. I want every person in this room to be with Jesus when He comes back again. He's coming back with great power and with great glory. We need to be there. I want every person to know that from today on, that if they don't have no hope, let them know that there's hope in Jesus Christ. When He comes back and we are sad and we are living in this world, which won't be no more, I want them to know that one day we're going to be all happy with Jesus in heaven. One day the deaf will hear, the dead will rise, the blind will see. Those who are in sorrow, their hearts are going to be jumping out of their body because they're going to be so happy. Those who are living in pain, they're not going to feel no more pain. Those who have cried tears, there's not going to be no more tears. I want to be there. How about you? I want to be in a place where I don't have to think about tomorrow. Just live for today and be with Jesus and worship Him day and night. I want to be there to see the creator of the universe, the father of all of us, the father, to meet him, to know and to say thank you for always being there for me. No matter what I went through, Jesus Christ is there for you. No matter what you go through, your sufferings, your caring, your family. Let me tell you, there are so many families who are broken now that this is the time when I think Satan is just trying to destroy the family values. Everything you see is it's the opposite of what it's supposed to be. The normal is the abnormal, and the abnormal is the normal. I've never seen nothing like that in my life. I'm still working at night, and I take the train at 12 o'clock at night. But when I miss that train, the people on the following on the following schedule of the train, which I have to wait like 45 minutes, an hour, my friends, I want to tell you, it's not even Sodom and Gomorrah. It's the craziest people you're ever going to meet are on that train. And, I mean, just when I tell you, I've never seen nothing like that in my life. Just, and not, I'm not talking about homeless people. I'm talking about real life people who have jobs. They're just dressed up. And, I mean, Jesus needs to come back soon, my friends. Because this world has not much more to go. We're living in a chaotic state. We need to have Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. We need to hold on to him. And I want to tell you that if you're clinging on to something today, it may seem precious to you, but I want to tell you when Jesus comes, so very soon, let's not hope you're still clutching what you are holding. Let not what you're holding keep you from eternity, my friends. Let not what you're going through keep you from having faith in him. People say it's very easy to have faith. Yes. But it's very easy also to lose faith. We know that if you're going through some hardships, we know it is easy to have faith. But I want to tell you that there's hope for tomorrow. Jesus Christ is coming back. Let's not dwell on what's happening on this earth. Let us dwell on what's happening in heaven. And I want to say that be ready, my friends. Do not be fooled. There's going to be a great impersonator who's going to create many miracles. But there's only one God who's going to come down with power and great glory. Be there and be ready for him. Amen. Closing song is number 309.